Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage to him." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay homage to him.' And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, welcome to 2021. Thanks be to God. This is when we celebrate something called Epiphany Sunday in the Christian church. And epiphany is a word that we use in our common parlance too. If we say to someone, "I've had an epiphany," we're not saying that we're in need of medical attention. We're not, it doesn't mean we have a weird condition. It simply means we've had a realization about something. Something that's going to be a game changer. It's more than a New Year's resolution, because that's something that comes from us. It's something of our own making. An epiphany is different. An epiphany is a realization of something that's true, that's always been true, and only this moment are we seeing it. The memes on Facebook are the ones that say, "I was today years old when I learned this or that fact." An epiphany is an aha moment. An epiphany helps us see something in a different light. After we have an epiphany, we're not the same. As we turn from the 2020 we'd like to forget and toward the 2021 we really want to be different and better, I'm wondering what epiphany is out there for us to discover and to live by. What lessons would God have us take from 2020 that would serve us well in 2021 to hold on to? And what things, what baggage did we drag through 2020 that God is saying, "Maybe you don't need that anymore"? What is the epiphany that God wants to give us today? Well, as we turn to the scripture to take a closer look, we see the Magi, the wise men. And it's a biblical story that comes up this Sunday every year because it's tailor-made for a time of seeing things differently. Because we believe what happened in Bethlehem has changed the world. The epiphany we celebrate today is the realization that Jesus is not just for a couple tribes of people in Palestine, but for the world. As I said earlier, Epiphany is the answer to, what child is this? Who is this that was born in Bethlehem? This is Epiphany with a capital E. The light of Christ that shines for the world. It's the perfect story for a new year when we all want a new start. It sets before us stark choices about who we are and who we want to be. What we need to keep, what we need to let go of, even now in 2021. Well, so you get your money's worth. I'm going to give you a little background about the Magi. Matthew's account is the only gospel that talks about these foreign strangers. And Matthew never says that they are kings, and he never says that there were three of them. He says wise men from the east. The Greek word is magoi. It can mean magician or astrologer. In history, in the church, we have said there were three because there were three gifts mentioned. And we call them kings because of references in Scripture that kings will bring gifts to the Messiah. We do know that they were not Jewish. They were from a long way away. They have been studying the stars, you know, looking for signs, gathering data in the heavens, running on the treadmill, taking Pilates, keeping a weather eye on the horizon. And one day they see it. A bright star, an unusual celestial event. And they go to Jerusalem. They go there because that's the direction the star takes them. But that's also where the king already lives. They're going to the source. And their question is, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? A question for the current king of the Jews, for we saw his star at its rising and we've come to worship him. When Herod finds out about the birth, he is not filled with joy to the world. He's troubled. He's afraid. The shepherds received angel news as great joy for all people, but it didn't start off as good news to King Herod. Wasn't good news to Congress. Wasn't good news to the power brokers. The news of a birth of a king who did not live in Herod's palace made the foundations of power shake just a little. So he calls in the folks he thinks are wise. The ones who live just up the road from him. And he asks the question, where? Same question word. Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Refresh my recollection. It was Buckingham Palace, right? It was that tallest building in the world in Dubai, right? Maybe some big fancy building in New York, right? He hears the birthplace will be Bethlehem of Judah, the city of David. And then Herod hatches a lie. He could have easily sent the scribes and the chief priests on the journey to the manger. He himself could have made the pilgrimage. He could have poured out his royal treasure store, or at least maybe a couple denarii to add to the tribute to the king. Instead, he summons our magi and he questions them. What time did you see the star? Where in the sky was it? And he says, go find him out and let me know. And I'll be on the very next camel. I'll be right behind you to pay him homage. But in fact, Herod doesn't mean to fall down and worship this king. He's threatened. He's not looking forward to the time that the Messiah comes because he's sure that it is not him. For all his power, he's really keeping the seat warm for somebody else. And I think in the end, he is afraid. If this child is who he claims to be, Herod fears it will be the end of the world as he knows it, and he is not fine with that. He imagines Jesus as a military ruler who will operate in the dog-eat-dog way that he does, in the way that Rome does. There will be revolt, there'll be violence, he'll be in danger, and we can't have that. That's why he's looking for Jesus. To silence the songs of the angels, to put out the fires of hope. And if there's a light that God has sent into the world, Herod means to put it out. Here is the contrast. Here is the choice. Here is the epiphany that we are invited to have. We can choose between the reaction of the wise men to fall down and pay Christ homage, to realize that the world is different today, 2021, because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. It changes everything. It changes the way that we parent. It changes the way that we go to church. It changes our relationship with Jesus. It changes our jobs. It changes the way we relate to one another. It changes the way we watch the news. It changes everything. That's an option for us. Or we can choose Herod's way to retreat in fear. To see the news that God is God and we are not, not as a gift, but as a threat. It's pretty clear which one we're supposed to choose. We're not on Team Herod. And after all, they call them the wise men, don't they? The Magi react to the coming of this new bright star, not with fear, but with joy. At last, the darkness that we have been living under does not have to have the last word. We have another option. And the gifts they bring signal who they think this child is. A king, a divine being, and a savior or sacrifice. Gold is a gift for royalty. Frankincense is an offering for a priest or a deity. And myrrh is used for anointing and for burial. King and God and sacrifice. Looking at a humble family and a child under threat, and seeing God's plan of love and salvation and a new king in town. And after that, I think they are not the same. It says in the scripture, after that, I think they see things in a different light. Know what I mean? It says in the scripture that they went home by another road. And I see this as a metaphor. Not just that they literally went home another way to avoid Herod, but a metaphor for the change of heart, the change of perspective that the Magi have from their visit to Jesus. When they got home, I wonder, did their homes look the same to them? With the Christmas tree by the curb for recycling, the ornaments put away. I wonder what they thought about their world, having seen this child who would save not just the Jews, but all of us, the wise and the not so wise, the pretty and the not so pretty, the rich and the not so rich. I think having seen the world by the light of the Star of Bethlehem, I think it made everything look different afterwards. They remind us that the gift of Christmas is not just a gift for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. This is a God for a Sunday in January when we're still wearing our masks and I'm preaching to you in an empty room. A gift for that. This God's light is not just for those who do or say all the right things. This God's light is for all who will have it. And this God's plan will not be thwarted by the Herod-like forces of this world. So if we choose the Magi's epiphany, we know we're on the winning team. Herod doesn't have the last word. Jesus does. There will always be Herods, forces and people who are threatened by God's love, who are stingy with God's grace. But we, the followers of Christ, we don't need to play Herod's game. And we don't need to tread the well-worn toll road of the way he says the world is and how he wants us to be. After all, did you know they called the followers of Christ the followers of the way? Not Herod's way, Jesus' way. The one who says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. What an opportunity we have today. The Christian journey is a lot like the one that the Magi took. It looks ridiculous at first. It starts off with a sort of decision. For the Magi, it was, we are going to follow that star. We're going to go. If it takes 100 miles, we're going to follow it. It starts off with a sort of decision. In the Christian journey, for some of us, it's a decision to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. For others, Lord and Savior can be a little hard to commit to at first. So maybe it looks more like a holy curiosity, a wondering at the end of 2020 to look around us and say, is this all there is? And an epiphany that says, not by a long shot, it's not. Maybe a holy curiosity that checks us out online, you know? Maybe has visited our website a few times. Asking, where is the one who was born king of the Jews? You know, I've seen something on the horizon. It looks like a star. I need help. I need help in my marriage. I need help with the injustices in the world around me. I need help with my anxieties and my fears and my faults and my failures and my future. And as we walk on the journey together, we might find that the world that we thought existed is not the real world after all. We may find that King Herod's point of view doesn't strike us as the way things really are anymore. We may find that what looks like a fool's errand or a threat is actually a gift, a January surprise, the victory of love over hate, the victory of justice over oppression, an aha moment. It might even be an epiphany. Being a Christian is not all about angels and tinsel and cattle lowing and silent angelic babies. Being a Christian is a long, hard journey that's worth taking. It's full of joys and triumphs and beautiful views, and also it's full of wrestling with doubt and faults and failures. It's the sacrificial love of mask making and mask wearing and hand washing and a poinsettia delivered on a porch. It's realizing that the church is full of human beings who are imperfect, but who are on a journey together. It involves many times when we see all of a sudden an epiphany, an aha moment. We see the presence of Jesus when we least expect it. And it also involves cleaning up after the camels and hauling the gifts and pursuing a star that is always there but sometimes hard to see. I think one of the gifts of 2020 is the chance to see things in a different light. I certainly look at family time differently. We might look at our jobs a little differently. Our commutes, hugs, the power of human touch. We certainly see in a different light what church is and what worship could be and what pastoral care looks like and how to serve our neighbor safely, what connection is. Trust me. Even mundane things like toilet paper and paper towels, I will never see them the same again. So my prayer is that we may live 2021 differently because of our experience of Jesus in this season when we need His light more than ever. May it be that we have learned the gift of gratitude and brother and sisterhood and keeping the main thing the main thing. May it be that our time at the manger this year, after all we have been through, has helped us to see everything in a different light, the light of Christ. Maybe we look at the importance of our mission as a church a little differently. And the precious gift we have of just being alive. May we see our work in a different light. And by work, I don't necessarily mean what we do for a living. I mean the work of discipleship, the work of service, the work of growing in Christ. Howard Thurman called it the work of Christmas. He writes, when the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky has gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. An epiphany. Thanks be to God.